Amen. How many of you believe that? Amen. How many of you know that it's not just words we sing, but it's something we believe? We are worshiping a God who is alive. He's not dead, but He is alive. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I was bold enough to text my husband the other day and say, "Do you have plans for First Wednesday yet?" And he said, "No, you want it?" I said, "Sure, yeah." So here I am. The other night, I guess it Monday night, I was having dinner with a friend of mine. And we were just having a good time, you know, out having dinner. And she started talking about this minister that she's never met, but somehow she knew her. Do any of y'all have someone like that? And what it kind of means is you've been stalking someone. You know far too much about them, and they don't even know who you are. And so this friend of mine was going on about, man, this minister, she dresses just top notch, and she likes to vacation at so-and-so, and you know, all these different things about this person. She hasn't even met her. She doesn't have a relationship with her, but she felt like she knew her. The same is true. As she was talking, God just revealed to my heart that we Christians are very much the same way in our fellowship with God. That we think reading the Bible has us where God wants us. That we think coming to church, surely that's what makes us good people. That we can know every single worship song and that is good enough. But how many of you know that does not make a relationship? In my relationship with my husband that I absolutely love, I get more out of my relationship with him other than Jesus than anyone else. But he and I could know each other's favorite color, each other's favorite song, whatever it is, favorite food. But how many of you know that's not what makes a healthy marriage? It's that one-on-one time we spend together. It's those moments in the morning where we're both drinking our coffee and we're sitting on the couch and we're dreaming together. We're sharing our heart with one another. And that is what Jesus ultimately wants from each and every single person in this place. More than anything else, He wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. And He doesn't group date like that. He wants that one-on-one stuff. The stuff where He can talk to you about some things that you need to know. And so He wants that more than anything. And you might say in this place tonight, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what the records of my past are. He doesn't care. He did not send His only Son for you to die on the cross because He thought you were going to be perfect. He knew you were going to miss it. He knew I was going to miss it. And if you think you are unworthy of a relationship with Him, if you even say, "I know He loves me, but there's no way I can walk in close fellowship with Him." Because I think so often we put Jesus in the same boat as us, where we have a relationship that has hurt us, and we feel, you know, it's best if we just keep them at a distance. And I think so often we view God as the same way. But I'm going to tell you something. God is so much greater than us. He is so much more merciful than we ever thought about being. And if you are in that place where you say, "I'll come to church, I'll know about Jesus, and I know He loves me, and I've just learned to accept that. I don't have to have a close fellowship with Him." I can't describe to you how much that would hurt Him for you to think that. He wants you. Yeah. And so that's one person. But maybe there's some other people in here that you have a I'm fine relationship with Jesus. And let me get to it. You'll know what I'm talking about. But my husband and I were out to dinner with a sweet, sweet couple in the church. And this was a couple months ago. And the wife is just one of the kindest, most peaceful, gentle-spirited people. And her husband is telling a story about how he messed up bad. And he came to her. I can't remember what he did. Don't worry about that. He just did something. And he came to her, and he said, I am so sorry. You know, and he's talking to her about what he had done. And she said, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. And if you know a woman, you know when she says, I'm fine, it means anything but she's fine. It means nothing is right, and you better get it right ASAP. And so as Christians, we can come to church and worship, lift our hands, and you think, me and God, we're good. Two thumbs up. We are so good and fine. But how many of you know that right now, where we live, the time and age we're in, a relationship of I'm fine is not going to do it. We are living in a dark world. And if you would go to my scripture, in Ephesians 6:10, it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. If you would keep it up on there. It says, through your union with him. You know, you can be fine with someone, but that probably means you don't have a relationship with someone. It probably means there's a distance there. And what this is saying, that relationship we have with Jesus, that is where our strength comes from. And from what happened in Paris to everything else happening around the world, a fine relationship is not fine. We need to draw our strength through our union with Jesus. There's another category of people in this place represented. And those are the people who have a good relationship with our Father. And I hope each and every one of us can get to that place. But the great thing about God is we will never know the beginning and the end of him. He is so great and so vast that we will never know every good thing he has because he's that great. You know, if you spend time with me long enough, you'll know all the great things about me. Just spend a day with me and you'll know what I'm great at. God could not be more different. He is so great. But as believers, we don't need to get stuck in a place where we have a good relationship with Christ and we think that's as far as it goes. It is a continuation. You will never have enough. You will never have a good enough relationship with him because it just keeps getting sweeter. That's what I love about serving a God that we serve. You think you've seen the best, but he proves you wrong and tops it off. But in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. But as Christians, we need to want to grow in that relationship. In Joel and I's marriage, we have only hit 10 years so far. We have tons to go. But at the 10-year mark, I didn't think, you know, we've had a good run. We've had 10 years and we could keep, growing in our marriage, but we could just keep it kind of on the same level. Some of you have been married far longer. How long have y'all been married, Miss Velma? 45 years. That's pretty amazing. Amen. But I do know for them, they didn't get to 45 and decided to coast the rest. They're wanting to go further and further and further. And as believers, we need to be the same way. Let's keep going with God. Let's keep pushing forward to more of Him. But as a duty, when you walk through this sanctuary this evening, you should have received a card. And on the card, it's talking about a commitment. And let me stop, pause right now and say, don't cut me off. I'm not an infomercial, okay? I'm going to share something from my heart that is a testimony of what we are advertising. You know, I've been a part of life groups before, but this year I got something so much greater than a good fun time at Chick-fil-A, although those are necessary. We need to have good fun relationships. But I started leading a life group. And one of the things that we're asking you to do, we're asking two things: for you to check your heart and see where God is pulling you. And one of the things is leading a life group. You know, our church is growing, but we have a greater number of people to reach, but we need your help. And this semester, I felt the Lord tugging on me to do a prayer group. Well, first you need to know I've never done anything like that. I have never prayed where people can hear me. I mean, I've prayed over there, of course, but not where they know what I'm saying. And I thought it was so interesting that he would ask me to do that. And so, of course, I was obedient. And I felt he put a few people on my heart, just three other ladies. And we met, and I cannot describe to you what it has done for me. Probably a year or so ago, my husband came to me and said, we're really praying about canceling First Wednesdays, canceling Wednesday services, keeping First Wednesday only. What do you think? I said, honestly? He said, yeah. I said, I'm in the group that wants to keep it, like, forever. It's like my favorite service. I mean, it takes so much work to get there, but when I'm there, it's like success. And it is so, it speaks to me. I love this evening. But as I got into this life group, I realized why God brought me there and put that on my heart. Because what I thought I would lose in Wednesday night services, I gained that and more in this prayer group. To be honest, before I went to India, I had a little anxiety. I was a little nervous and fearful of the unknown. I didn't know what to expect except bugs and lizards and, you know, people tell you all this stuff. And so, you know, we are in this relationship. Me and these women have been just praying together and believing to see things move. And I just broke down. It was the Monday before we left. And I said, I'm having a hard time. And one of the ladies said, let's lay our hands on her and pray. And that thing lifted. That fear lifted. And I touched down in America and knew God had graced me from beginning to end. And so I want to encourage you. There are some people in here that need to lead a life group. And it's not about you. It's about something God is trying to do through you, get in you, and give to others. We need you. We need you to do that. But God needs you, because you never know what your act of obedience to do, what He's calling you to do, will pay off in the end for you. So that's one thing we're asking you all to pray about. The second thing is Saturday prayer. And this goes along with what I just shared with you about my prayer group. I've never been in an environment like that, but I do know that it is powerful. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, mid-verse, it says, God's Spirit has permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you, collectively as a church, and also individually. That means that there should be those times where it's you and the Lord. It's just you and him were praying. And it's intimate fellowship. But then there is a power that I truly believe that can only come through corporate prayer. And in this day and age, this world, our families, our marriages, our children, our church, the people at the grocery store, anywhere there are people, they need the power of our corporate prayer going out before them. And so as we are all members of this one body, as we lock hands and lock arms and pray together, we will see God do some things that he can't do any other way than us grabbing hands and praying it through, praying his power into this country, into this church, into our families. It's not about us. It's not about what we want to do. It's about what he has laid on our heart to do. It's about the vision that he has given our pastor for this church. It is about the ultimate Great Commission. So I encourage you tonight that we're about to get back into worship. And when we do, just keep your heart open. God is trying to speak to you. You are a member of this body, and we all add our supply. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So I can only imagine what God can do with faith-filled people praying his power and his will into this earth. So would you go ahead and stand with me? And I ask you truly to get hooked up. You are a part. We are a family. And then this next part of worship, we're just going to go into deep worship. That is a simple way that you can grow your relationship with the Lord. When you just surrender all and you're not paying attention to who's beside you and you're just worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that is growing your relationship. But during this time, have an open heart to hear what God is asking you to do. He has equipped each and every one of us with something to add. And it's our job to be willing to do that. So let's just pray, and then we'll jump right back into worship. Father, I thank you that every heart in this place is open. Open to receive what you are telling each and every one of us to do. That, Father, this body is called to touch and change the world. That the hands of every person in this place, the feet of every person in this place, are the hands and feet of Jesus. Father, we just roll out our mental thinking. And Father, we are alive spiritually. And we are willing and obedient. And Father, we will eat the good of the land. So Father, we yield ourselves to you. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Have your way. I thank you, Father, that we create a presence for you to move about, for the Holy Spirit to speak to each and every life in here, that, Father, any need that came in this place will be left at your feet. I thank you, Father, that there is confidence in the love you have for us, that all you have for us to accomplish, we will accomplish, that, Father, we find our joy in you. We find our strength in our relationship with you. Let us grow strong. Let us bear the burdens of the week and do all you've called us to do. In the name of Jesus, amen.